I pray that we would study your word and it would make sense to us, and that we would see what you're trying to show us, and that we would continue to build the kingdom according to your plan. In your name I pray. Amen.
What's up, everybody? So I just got to ask, now that the weather's cooled off a little bit, how many of you have already got your UGG boots out, your scarves on, and your pumpkin spice lattes are flowing? Anybody? Anybody? All right. I feel like now that fall's here, the infinity scarf game is strong. You know, the boots are out, the flannels are all that's in. So that's good. So we're going to get right into tonight. So like I mentioned last week, and what we're going to do is kind of get into a rhythm every week, is that if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand and one of the leaders will get you a Bible. There's a couple crates back there. So if you need a print Bible in front of you, just put it your hand up. We'll make sure you have one so you can use it to look at and utilize for the evening, because we are going to spend a lot of time in it. So just make sure you do that. And if you could, then when we dismiss the small groups later, just go ahead and put that Bible back in the crate on your way out. That would be awesome. And if you don't have a Bible that is yours, please come talk to one of the leaders, and we will make sure to get you one and that you can read and learn on your own. And also, like I mentioned last week, you know, it would be a great thing for me if you'd be willing to kind of put your phones off to the side for our time, because I feel like, man, you guys are in front of screens all the time. You know, I just, you know, as friends, asking a friend to a friend, you know, just like 30, 35 minutes of your attention without a screen would be great. I promise I'll do my best to make it worth your time, but I would appreciate that. So tonight, I want to look at the question, why is studying the Bible important? Why is studying the Bible important? And my guess is that if you are here, sitting here tonight, you're probably in one of these places. My guess is if you're here tonight, you're probably in one of these places. One, you don't care about the Bible. Two, you don't believe the Bible. There we go. You don't care about the Bible. Two, you don't believe the Bible. Three, you're not sure about the Bible. Four, you like the Bible, but maybe it's not that big a deal. Or maybe five, the Bible is essential to you. So if I'm just taking a guess, my guess would be that each and every one of you would fall into one of these categories, or that you would perceive the Bible in one of these ways. And so regardless of where you're at tonight, I hope and pray that tonight's topic will be helpful for you. So now that you have your Bible in front of you, I would invite you to open to Acts chapter 17, and we're going to start off by looking at verses 10 and 11. And again, if you need help finding the book of Acts, don't be afraid to Acts. Got it! All right. So if you need help, don't be afraid to ask a friend, because remember, we all got to start somewhere. So that's why we're here, to learn and grow together. So it's okay to ask questions. And if you need help, you can look at the index in the front of your Bible too. It'll show you exactly where to go and all of that. There you go. 640 in the Bibles that were passed out if you need them. So, wow. All right. Look at you go. All right. Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. Would somebody be willing to read those two verses? Anybody want to read? Jason? All right. Listen up. Jason, my man, go for it. You got it?
Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Thessalonica. See, you got it.
Thessalonica.
Mm-hmm. Wow, way to jump in. You didn't even read it ahead of time and know all the big words in there. That's good. I appreciate that. So when Paul and Silas got to Berea on their missionary journey, they began teaching and preaching. And so as they did, the Jews received what they were sharing with excitement, right? Because it says here that they received the word with all eagerness. So they were excited to receive Paul and Silas's teaching. But as they received the teaching, according to what we see here in verse 11, what did the people do? What was their response to what Paul and Silas were teaching and preaching? What do they do in response to that? What do you guys see in here? So what do they do in verse 11 towards the end? Once they heard them teaching and preaching, what did they do? With all eagerness, they started to study the Bible and examine the scriptures to see if these things were so. And I think this is a really awesome passage because they sought out the scriptures to make sure what they were being taught was biblical. Now, they weren't being very skeptical of Paul and Silas because they would have known who Paul and Silas were. But as they were receiving the teaching and preaching, the people here, the Jewish people in the synagogue, they examined the scriptures to see if these things were so. And I love this because it provides a great example of how we should live. And again, that doesn't mean we should be super critical of people who are teaching and preaching, but it's important that we view everything through the lens of the Bible. Because as followers of Jesus, those who have received Christ, right, like we talked about last week, the Bible is the foundation to our lives. And so tonight, I'm going to share with you 10 reasons why I believe studying the Bible is important. And my hope is that after our time together, you'll at least on some level see that the Bible is extremely important to our lives. So I'm going to give you 10 reasons why the Bible is important. And so I'm going to work through these reasons relatively quickly and give you some scriptures. So we're not going to turn to every single one in your Bible, but I want you to kind of have this foundation of Acts 10 and 11 here. And if you are taking notes or jotting anything down, you can write down the points and some of the passages. But my hope is that you'll see kind of the big picture here as we see some of these verses in Scripture. All right, so 10 reasons why I believe studying the Bible is important. You ready? You good? All right, let's do it. I'm going to work through these because I want to make sure you got plenty of reasons why, all right? So number one, the Bible is God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in all righteousness. And this is the first thing we have to say right off the bat is the Bible is God's word. And so I'm not going to spend really any time on this beyond just sharing this point because my man Josh Cheatham will be talking about this next week, but this point is absolutely critical, so I just have to make it known right away. The first reason is that the Bible is God's word. Okay. All right, number two, the Bible has all the answers to life's biggest question, okay? The Bible has all the answers to all of life's biggest questions, okay? Now, notice how I say life's biggest questions. If you're wondering, what sports team should I choose? And you're going to open the Bible. It's not going to tell you that. It's not this magic eight ball, right? But to all of life's biggest questions, the Bible has answers. It gives us direction. And so I'm sure on some level you've heard somebody say, well, the Bible is just an old book. It's not that relevant. Has anybody heard somebody say that? The Bible is just this old book. It's not really that relevant. Okay. Well, maybe you've heard somebody say, or maybe you've contemplated one of these questions. Well, where did we come from? What happens after I die? What's my purpose? What's my identity? Why is there so much pain and suffering? How can I live a joyful life? And again, my guess is that Each and every one of you, probably on some level, have asked yourself one of these questions. Well, you know what? Spoiler alert, the Bible answers all of these questions. Bam, bam, bam. All right? The Bible answers, yeah, my sound effects are lame. The Bible answers all of these questions. So wait, so you're telling me this old book addresses the questions that you as a teenager living in 2021 are asking? Well, let me give you a little insight here. Next slide, please. I wish there was a book that gave me answers to all of life's toughest questions. I mean, do I need to say more, right? You know what I'm talking about. You think I don't know what's going on in the world? Well, I don't live under a rock. I'm not Patrick Starr, okay? Come on, all right? The Bible answers all of life's toughest questions. And I have no doubt it'll answer many of the questions that you have in your lives. And so, well, why is the Bible still relevant? Well, because the Bible is living and active. And here's what I mean by that. Hebrews 4:12 says this: "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And so as we're working through this, my guess is that many of you have also asked yourself the question, well, you know what, why isn't God speaking to me? Maybe you've been praying before, or maybe you're trying to seek out what the Lord has for you, and maybe you've thought to yourself or asked yourself, well, why isn't God speaking to me? Why can't I hear God? Does he just not care? Is he not listening? Well, the reality is he has spoken nearly 800,000 words worth. And so let me kind of lay some things down for you. The average person can speak 130 words in a minute. All right. So I did a little researching online, and the average person can speak 130 words in a minute. And so the ESV Bible, which many of you probably have, is an English translation of the Bible. And so the ESV Bible has 757,439 words. That's how many words are in the Bible. So if we take that number, divided by 130 words a minute, that's 5,826 minutes, which is 97.1 hours. You're like, Nick, we were in math class today, ain't nobody got time for this. But I want you to see this, because if the Bible being read through at 130 words a minute is 97.1 hours, if I started reading the Bible right now from the front cover and we read nonstop day and night, I would finish reading the Bible around Monday evening at 8:45 p.m. That's how much is in the Bible. So if I started reading now, we just kept reading and reading and reading, we would finish the end of the Bible Monday evening. That's a lot of words that God is speaking to us. And you know what's also amazing? You might say, well, Nick, the Bible is so big. Like, it's such a big book. Why would I want to read it? But actually, you should also be grateful in a way, because I love how John 20:25 says this: "Now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." And this is amazing to me, because the reality is, what we have written, at least through the life of Christ, is a fraction of what he actually did and taught. So I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written if they were to write every single thing that Jesus did. So you think the Bible is a big book now? It could be like a lot bigger, right? But this is amazing to me. Like, how much more did Jesus do? Who else did he heal? It's incredible to me. And that doesn't mean we're missing parts of the Bible. That means there's so much that happened, but what we have in the scriptures is God breathed. It's what God wants us to know. We have the full completed scriptures, but just to think about how much Jesus has done. So in light of all of that, all of those words that we read in the Bible, I just think to myself, you know what? Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to us. I think often the real problem is that we're not listening. It's not that God isn't speaking to us. We have 757,000 words worth. But I think the real problem is that we're often not listening, or do we want to listen to what God is trying to say to us, what he's trying to share with us. All right, number three, the Bible gives us hope. And now I'm not just talking about this like feeling like, I hope I get a good grade on this test, or I hope my team wins the game this weekend. I'm talking about hope that gets us through the hardest days. Hope that when we feel like we don't know where else to go or what else to do. And so the Bible reminds us of hope that we have for today. Psalm 71 says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." So the Bible reminds us that we have hope for today, but the Bible also gives us hope for tomorrow. Revelation 21, the end of the story, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." For these words are trustworthy and true. And so, when we have received Christ, again, throwback to Colossians 2 that we looked at last week. When we have received Christ, this is what our future looks like. And this is why we have joy and not just happiness. Because happiness is often circumstantial, but joy is foundational. This is what gives us joy on the hardest days. Well, so the natural thought is, well, where does this hope come from? Well, 1 Peter 1 says it, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." Jesus resurrecting, conquering the grave, that is the living hope that we have. The empty tomb is proof that we have a living hope. And so not only is God's word living and active, we have the hope that Christ gives. It's a living hope. All right, number four. I'm not going to go crazy deep into all of these because I want to give you a whole bunch to help you see this big picture. Number four, the Bible is the most influential book in history. All right, I want you to think about this now. So in 2014, there was a London-based publishing company that did this huge worldwide survey, and they found that people viewed the Bible as the number one influential book of all time. I mean, why do you think there's a book in every hotel drawer everywhere, right? Like, you ever think about that? And so according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the Bible is the world's best-selling and most widely distributed book. The Bible is the most translated book, and it's available in approximately 3,312 languages. And when the Gutenberg printing press was invented in 1452, this printing press that revolutionized printing as we know it, when they compiled and put this printing press together, the very first book that they printed on it, I bet you can guess what it was.
The Bible.
Right, the Bible. But what's also crazy to me, I want you to think about this for a second. Right now, it's estimated that an average of 13 Christians die for their faith around the world. It's estimated that every day on this earth, 13 people are killed for their faith. They gave their lives to honor Christ and to honor his word. And so it makes me think people around the world daily are giving their lives because of the faithfulness to this book. So clearly, it's worth it to them. And so I could just keep going even in this point alone, but I'll just leave some of it at that. So number five, we're halfway through here. Number five, the Bible helps us distinguish the truth from the lies. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so the Bible gives us the measuring stick by which we can distinguish truth from error. Because again, it's God breathed. It comes from the very mouth of God. And if there's anyone that I can trust, you better believe it's going to be God. And if you want to learn more about this point specifically, Pastor Mark, Tim, and Carl just finished a sermon series not too long ago on this very topic. And so they spent hours and hours helping us learn and understand why this is true. And so I would definitely encourage you to check out, if you listen to podcasts, you can go look up Fellowship Church and you can listen to some of their messages. And they do a really amazing job at laying a lot of this out. So I would encourage you to check it out, or you can go to the church website as well. But if we want to avoid being taken captive by human philosophy, empty scams, right? Like, again, we talked about in Colossians 2 last week. If you want to avoid being taken captive, then we must know God's truth. If you want to avoid being caught up in the lies, naturally, you need to know the truth. And so it's really neat because, I don't know about you, but is anybody like watching like documentaries? Is anybody documentary? All right, I knew there were people out there. It's not just me.
I watched about Bob Ross.
Bob Ross. happy trees, right. So a couple years ago, I watched this documentary on counterfeit money, which you might be like, that sounds so lame. But what was fascinating about this documentary is that, you know, there are all kinds of people where their professional job and career is to identify fake money. And they were interviewing all of them, and they asked them, well, how do you know when you spot counterfeit money? And basically their answer is, well, we've spent so many years studying real money that when we see fake money, we can tell right away it's fake. So rather than spending so much time focusing on the fake money, they actually learn and study what real money looks like. So when they see a fake, they're like, whoa, that's not real, because they're so familiar with and connected to real money, because they can spot out the lies because they know what is true. You guys tracking with me so far? Nod your heads if you're with me. All right, good. All right. Number six, the Bible helps us. Did I put it twice? Whoops. Well, what the point should be is the Bible shows us how to truly walk in Christ. The Bible shows us how to truly walk in Christ. Because again, throw back to Colossians 2, when we have received Christ, we walk in him. So if you want to walk in Christ, the Bible is crucial to doing so. Because the second half of 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says that the man of God, or all of us, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So if you want to do good, if you want to truly know how to walk in Christ, the Bible teaches us how to do so. And again, that's the heartbeat of why this series is called Rooted. It's all interconnected. You're going to be so like, okay, Nick, we got it, but I'm going to keep letting you know about it. And so John 15:5, TLCs know what I'm saying here, says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that doesn't mean people who are not followers of Jesus can't contribute good things and that they're not good people. But if we want to produce fruit that is of real eternal value, it starts with Jesus, with reading, studying, and applying the Bible. So if you want to produce fruit that provides eternal, real value, it starts with Christ. And Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted, rooted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers." Y'all think I'm just like making this rooted thing up? It's all over the Bible. So are you guys starting to track with me here? You guys getting my point here that the Bible is important? Well, you know what? Just in case, let's keep going. Number 7, the Bible can change your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come." And not only will it change your life, but it will also lead you to Christ, who will give you new life. And I'm not going to go too much into this because we're going to cover this topic in a couple weeks, but I just want to make this point known. The Bible can change your life. And I hope you heard that in sharing my story last week, that the Bible completely changed my life because the Bible pointed me to the real biblical gospel of Jesus. And then I placed my faith in Christ. And life didn't necessarily get easier, but I saw my worth, my purpose, my identity. And I realized what Jesus had done for me. And I read that in the scriptures. Number 8 of 10. I'm still going. You know, the reality is, I actually had to trim this down to 10. So you're welcome, all right? You're welcome. Number 8, the Bible is a way that we worship God. John 4 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And so one of the ways that we worship, that Jesus told us how to worship, hello, is in truth, which includes the Bible. Because again, 2 Timothy 3, it is God breathed. We worship God by reading and studying his word. Because the Bible is crucial. It's a non-negotiable. And the Bible is absolutely vital when it comes to worshiping God and growing in our faith. Number 9. The Bible gives us direction. Now, if you've ever asked yourself this question, what is my purpose in life? If you've ever asked yourself that question, then you're probably like every other person that's ever walked the face of the earth. Because as humans, we deeply desire to find and have purpose in our lives. Each and every one of us, we want to feel like we have purpose, that we have meaning. Well, so where do we go? How do we find it? Is it the number of followers that we have? Is it in the grades that we get? Is it by how many friends we have? Well, Psalm 119 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so if you've ever walked in darkness, you know what that means. If you've ever walked in darkness, the Bible gives us light so we know where to go and what to do. It gives us direction, purpose, and goals on what we are called to do and what we are meant to do. And number 10, probably like, we're finally here. But you know what? I could have kept going. So again, you're welcome. Number 10, the Bible helps give the church unity. The Bible helps give the church, those who have received Christ, unity. Ephesians 4 says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which he is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And so you see, unity in the body of Christ, the church, is impossible without Christ. If we, those who have received Christ, if we are the body of Christ and Christ is the head, it would be pretty hard to function without a head. Just ask a chicken. So, again, I feel like we just flew through these. And so, again, I want to just provide these 10 reasons for you so you can kind of see a whole bunch as to why studying the Bible is important. And the reality, we could probably spend like a night on each of these reasons. That's a lot, right? But I want you to see this picture. And you know what? If these 10 reasons still are not enough, listen to what some of your friends are saying about the Bible. Cue the video.
Why is reading the Bible important to you?
Reading God's word brings me peace, confidence, and wisdom in a constantly changing world.
Reading the Bible is important to me because it provides biblical answers for my everyday problems and it maintains my strong relationship with Christ.
Reading the Bible is important because I have seen how much it has personally impacted my life because I can now see things through a Christ-like point of view rather than a worldly perspective.
As Christians, we are called to make disciples, and we can't do that if we don't know what God says.
All right. So, if you don't believe any of the 10 reasons I just shared with you, you just heard from people who are way cooler than me that the Bible is important to them. So, if anything, I hope you walk away thinking, you know what? People my age love the Bible. Maybe I should too. And so, I just want to recognize, I know that I just threw a lot at you, and I don't expect you to remember every single thing that I said tonight. That's okay. But I really hope you get what I'm about to say. The Bible is important. And hopefully you're thinking, okay, Nick, we get it. You gave us all these reasons. Like, we get it. The Bible is important. But again, I actually came up with like 17 reasons, and I had to trim it down to 10. So, because there are so many reasons why the Bible is so important. It's at the foundation of what we do here. And so my hope for us moving forward from tonight is I want to quote my man, Charles Spurgeon. He says this, "Visit many good books, but live in the Bible." Visit many good books, but live in the Bible. Be like a stream planted by water, digging deep roots. And we have to dig deep roots in the scriptures. Because everything about our lives, the way we think, the way we live, how we interact with people, how we view the world, should all come through the lens of Scripture. And this is what we call a biblical worldview. Because we view the world and everything in it through the lens of Scripture. And if you have glasses, you know what it means to not have them. And when you don't have them, you don't see things very clearly. And this is a great example of why we need the Bible, because the lens of Scripture helps us see ourselves, the world, and God clearly. The Bible helps clear everything up and gives us a better picture of who we are, how we view the world, who God is, and what we're supposed to do. And so over the next 2 weeks, Josh Cheatham is going to be looking at two questions, and we're going to kind of work on this the next few weeks. One, is the Bible really the Word of God? And number two, the second week, will reading the Bible actually change my life? So we're going to dig in over these next 2 weeks and look at, is the Bible really the Word of God? Okay, Nick, I know you said it, but really, really, is it the Word of God? And then the week after that, will reading the Bible actually change my life? Nick, will reading this and studying this, will it actually do anything for me? Will it actually change anything? And so I hope and pray you come back and that we can continue together through this series so we can discover how to dig deep roots in our faith, in your faith. And let me leave you with this before we pray. The Bible isn't just a helpful book. It's as necessary as oxygen. And I know you're like, oxygen, but I'm serious here. The Bible is important. It's necessary. We need it to learn and grow together. Okay. So let me pray, and then we'll transition into your small groups, but don't go anywhere yet until after I'm done, all right? So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that, Lord, that we could be here together. Thank you that we have your word to learn and to study, and that we can use it to grow in our faith. Thank you so much for this time that we could be together, Lord, to have this space, the freedom to be able to open and study your word. And I pray that throughout everything that we share tonight, Lord, that I pray that each and every student here on some level would just take a step in the direction of recognizing and understanding and living out the truth that the Bible is so, so important. God, I believe that the Bible can change each and every one of our lives if we allow it to. And I pray that as we continue to read the Bible, study it this semester, learn how to study it, that we can get excited about the ways in which it can change our lives. And I hope and pray that I myself am even an example of that. And God, I pray that as we head into small groups here in a minute, that you would just tear down the walls that we have, Lord, that whatever is on our mind, whatever struggles we had today, whatever baggage we're carrying, that we can just leave it at the door and we can just learn and grow together. Because I know each and every one of us are carrying something heavy tonight. And God, I pray that we can use the word of God to shed some light on it and give it to you. Because we're not meant to carry it, but you did on the cross, and you want us to give it to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for all the things that you're teaching us and will teach us. And in your name we pray. Amen.